Good evening. I hope everyone's had a good day today. I'd like to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak tonight. Tonight, if you'd like to, you can go ahead and open to Psalms chapter 1, the first chapter of Psalms. This will be our primary text for tonight. I'll have a few passages mentioned, but you won't have to worry about turning to them. All right, so for tonight, I got a few questions for you to consider and answer for yourself as we go. So, first off, being it's the end of the day, I'm sure many of us have made choices of some sort. How many of those choices were good that you made today? How many of them were evil? And would you really classify any of the choices you made as being good or bad? Some of them may have not have got you much of anywhere, and some of them may have taken you somewhere. And finally, whose path have you walked today in those choices? Where have you went, and down what road have you gone? We'll be looking in Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. I'll go ahead and read those. We'll see a description of a blessed man and the choices that he makes and the things he does. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Here we're given a picture of a blessed man, and first off, we're given three things that he's not. A good way to understand something is to start off by understanding what it isn't. A lot of science does this, and so here we see three things that the blessed man isn't. First off, we see he does not walk in step with the wicked. When we walk, we usually hear a lot of things of other people walking by us, and we hear, you know, things that catch our eye, we see things that catch our eye, we hear things that catch our ear. Usually these are influences that we see as we take our path wherever we're walking. A little later, we see he doesn't stand in the way that sinners take. See, here's a picture of a man who's not walking down a path that sinners walk. He's not listening to the influences of the wicked. He's not standing either to contemplate, to think about these things that he's hearing. He's not letting time for these bad influences to really take root inside of him. And then finally, in the bottom part of verse 1, it says he does not sit in the company of mockers. Here we've seen a progression of walking, standing, and sitting. See, when we get to the sitting, he's now more or less rooted in what he's heard. See, one who walks and hears the bad influences will take it in. Then he will stand and he'll talk and contemplate them. And then after a while, he will believe them and he will become rooted, sitting down in the company of them. This is not what the blessed man does. He does not do any of these things. And in fact, in verse 2, we see what he does do. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it day and night? This man has no company with the bad. So his company is in the law of the Lord. Here we see his delight is the law of the Lord. It is his happiness. It is his joy. It is what drives him and takes him where he's going. In Psalms 19, we read, and we know because there's a song and many of us have memorized it, it says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's sweeter than honey. This is something that nourishes him and keeps him going. This is his path. This is his goal. In verse 3, we see he is like a tree that is planted by a stream of water, which brings its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Here's a picture that we're given of this blessed man who is planted by a stream of water which feeds him and gives him what he needs. This is the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is the stream of water that is feeding this man, this tree, this rooted picture. And at the last part of verse 3, we see a interesting little conflict where it says, whatever he does will prosper. We know for a fact that not everything we do here prospers. There's plenty of good people who have bad things happen to them. And that's pretty obvious. We see it every day. Probably many of us here tonight have had bad things happen to us. And, well, I wouldn't say anyone here is bad. So when he says that whatever they do will prosper, he's not saying that everything on earth he will do will prosper. but it was because of his delight and his goal. His goal is in heaven, and his delight's in the law of the Lord. So, looking at what he does to get to his goal, he prospers. Everything he does to get to heaven will prosper. It will take him to where he needs to go. It'll walk him down his path. Now, we've seen a bit of what a blessed man is. So now we can look at what a wicked man is. In verse 4 through 5, "Not so are the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous." So we've seen what the blessed man isn't and what he is. There's not a whole lot of description given about the wicked man. But since we know what the blessed man is not, we can probably guess what the wicked man is. This is a man who does walk in step with the wicked. He is a man who does stand in the way that sinners take, and he does sit in the seat of the company of mockers. This man has no good influences, and so because of that, he's not like a tree that is rooted, grounded, and firm in the streams of water, but he is like chaff that blows away with the wind. Not everybody is used to wheat, so a good thing that probably everyone here has done, either as a kid or as an adult, is probably shucked some corn. And when you shuck corn, you got a bunch of silky little strands called corn silk that are nothing but annoyances that you can't wash out of the corn, and it's going to get stuck in your teeth. That is a fact. But that stuff is, it's weightless. It blows away. You can grab a handful of it and throw it in the wind and watch it blow off. That's what the wicked are. They have no root. They're nothing but worthless corn silk. So, in verse 5, this is the consequence for their actions. "Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous." At judgment, every knee will bow. But those who are on the right hand of God, those who have done his will, the blessed ones, the ones who walked like the blessed man, will be separated from those who didn't, because they've done God's will, and God accepts them. But the wicked, they will not stand in the judgment. They will not sit with the righteous. They'll be completely separated in this great dividing. Now, we have our conclusion in verse 6. "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." Because God separates them, they will go off to their own separate paths and what they've been working to this whole time. We already determined that the blessed man was working towards heaven in the beginning. That was his goal, and that was where he was prospering. The wicked man wasn't given a goal. His goal was whatever he was influenced by in his walk. Because of this, God doesn't know him. The ESV, instead of saying the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, it says the Lord knows the way. The Lord knows them because they did his will, and they followed what he wrote down in his laws. The wicked didn't. Therefore, there is no knowledge of them in God's mind. In Matthew 7, verses 22 through 23, Jesus is given the Sermon on the Mount. And in this one section, he's talking about the straight and narrow way. And at the end, he says this. Matthew 7, 22, verse 23. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will say to them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away with you, evildoers.'" Because God doesn't know them, that is why they will perish. It's not because God's a wicked God who just wants to see destruction and save those who he wishes. It's because they didn't follow the path that God laid out for them. They didn't follow that path to heaven. And because of this, God can't help but doom them. What they've done is their own destruction. "For the way of the righteous the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish." Tonight, I want you to think about the choices you've made today. Were they good? Did they lead you to heaven? Or were they bad? Or did they lead you nowhere? If they didn't lead you anywhere, and did you really get any closer to heaven? Think about these things. And after Clay's sermon, he'll give an invitation. Brother Rocky will now lead singing. Yes.